It is there, young lady. It is definitely here, and it's a good thing. It was so fun to be up here yesterday with many of you. Thanks for being here. As Pastor Ryan said, I tell you, we have so much to be grateful for. Amen? Amen. Well, today is kind of a fun Sunday. I tell you, if you were not here last week, I encourage you to go onto the website and listen to the message. Bill Norton, a good friend of ours, was with us. And I tell you, when you are in the presence of God, God does what he wants to do. Amen? And there is times in God's presence, and I've never experienced a time in God's presence where I literally couldn't talk before. And for a pastor who can't talk, you know, either he just had a lot of dental work done or God was really doing some powerful things. And last Sunday, I tell you, I was overwhelmed with the presence of God. And I know many of you were overwhelmed with God's presence towards the end of our service. And I just encourage us to continue to be a people that will not settle at anything less than the word of the Lord for your life. Can I just encourage us with that? In everything we do, that we would truly apprehend God's now word for that moment. Because I believe as we encounter God's word for now for us, that everything's going to change. And that's when we're really going to walk this abundant life that we're called to walk in. So it was interesting. All week, I just was so aware of God's presence. That day, just eating lunch again, just weeping in God's presence and what he wants to do. And I even had a moment. We were doing some wiring in our attic this week, and it was hot, and it was just overwhelmed again with God's presence. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to become numb to God's presence. Amen? And that's really our heart here. And so I'm excited for today. I think it's going to be a great service. It's going to be, we got a lot going on this morning. And so just hang on, but I think we're going to just continue to hear from what God wants to say to us as a church. But we get to do a baby dedication. Not really a baby dedication. He's like over one. But I love that we on purpose do what we call baby dedications. And I have a special honor this morning because I get to stand with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law as they bring their little boy before the Lord. So I'm going to invite Ashley and Wes to come up this morning with their family, with Jack and Maddie. But this is my family. And we see them sometimes, but they live all over the place. I think right now their stuff's in Texas. They own a home in California. They've been in Montana. They've been in Ohio. I mean, you name it, and they've lived there. And they're closer to home now in Yuba City, but we'll take that. But we're just so honored as they get to stand with, we get to stand with them this morning, their beautiful family, and really bring Jack to the Lord. I learned something about Jack this year, that his real name was Jackson. We just call him Jack, and someone said, Jackson? And I said, no, I don't think that's his full name, but it is. And so I call him Jack, because I think that's pretty cool. And Jack likes me. Jack has a lot going for him, other than me being his uncle. But he is just a gift to us as his family, and he is about the cutest thing you've ever seen. On top of all of the gifts and the plan and the purpose that God has for him. But what I love about these dedications is I could do this at my in-law's house tonight, and we could dedicate him to the Lord. But I love the fact that we are calling on the family of God to recognize what God is doing through Jack. And though this is their church home, they are not here because of military and where they're stationed. But this is the family that they look to cover them in prayer, to support them, to encourage them as they do their very best to raise their sons and daughters in the ways of the Lord. And so we have an honor this morning to partner with Jack and whatever Jack's gonna do this morning. But maybe I'll try holding Jack here. We'll see. He likes Uncle Justin sometimes. Hi, buddy. All right, we're gonna go with it. But Ashley and Wes, the Bible says that children, you want this? Do you want Dada? Yeah, I know. Uncle Justin's kind of scary. But the Bible says that children are a gift from God, and that they are a blessing from God. And I think there's times that we believe that, and then there's times that we just need to believe that. Right? There's times we feel it, and then there's the other times that you just got to read the word that says they are a gift. And I just encourage you guys, as you are raising your son and daughter in the ways of the Lord, that you remind yourselves that they are a blessing and that they are part of your inheritance. And one of my favorite scriptures that talks about our sons and daughters, it likens them to arrows in the hands of a warrior. And I know that God is going to use Jackson and God is going to use Maddie to do great things in the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you as parents to be the ones that are calling those things out in Jack, that he's going to do great things for God's kingdom. And I want to encourage you as parents to make it a lifestyle. I think it's very easy for all of us to, well, we go to church on Sundays and maybe on Wednesdays if we're really spiritual. But I want to encourage you guys to really make the things of the kingdom part of your everyday life. Because I think those are the things, as we do that as parents, that our kids aren't going to treat it like a religion, but they're going to treat it like their life and part of who they are. And so how that works out is up to you guys to say, God, how do you want to do it in us? But I couldn't encourage you more with that. You know, the name Jackson, it comes from the name in Hebrew, John. And it means this. It means that God has been gracious and shown his favor. So Jack, God has been gracious to you, and God's favor is on your life. He totally knows what I'm talking about right now. Right? Kind of. He's like, Uncle Justin, did you just hurry up? But I believe as Jack grows in the ways of the Lord, that God wants to use Jack to not only be a receiver of God's grace, but God wants to use Jack to give God's grace to his siblings, to his friends, and to the world. And I'm just believing that as you guys learn in your home that what it means to tap into God's divine enablement and God's grace, that Jack is going to see that and he's going to walk in his namesake. So, Jack, you are one who is going to receive God's grace and who's going to give God's grace. Amen? Amen. He's like, amen, Uncle Justin. Amen. And again, I think this, again, Jack, he has no clue what we're doing this morning. No clue. But this is just as much about Ashley and Wes and us as a church standing with them and saying they are bringing their family before the Lord. And I think to parents, and I, again, would encourage you and Wes, Ashley, as you guys are raising your kids, to keep your relationship in right order with the Lord. Because I think as you guys preserve the unity that God's placed between the two of you, things are going to be in right order, and God is going to bless your household. And I think it's so easy, as we all know the struggle. We all know that life is busy, and there's times where you feel like your hair is falling out, and you feel like you're going crazy. And I just would encourage you, even in those seasons of life that you find yourself in, to do everything that you can to preserve the unity, because as you do that, your kids will reap the benefits of that. And so I bless you with that today. We get the honor of praying over Jack. So I'm going to invite the grandparents to come up this morning. The grandparents, my in-laws, who are great people. But Jack is a blessing to the Lord. And God has a plan and a future for Jack. And so, church body, this is where you get to join with me. I'm going to ask all of you to stand this morning as we come beside Ashley and Wes and grandparents, and we're just going to commit Jack's life to the Lord, that the purposes of God would happen, that the grace of God would flow through Jackson's life. Amen? So this is Jackson Stivers Griffith is his full name. And so, Father, and I won't hold you, buddy, because I don't want you to cry. But, Father, we thank you for this family. Father, we thank you for little Jackson. Father, we thank you that you have ordained his days before him. Father, we thank you that you have created Jackson as to be one who receives and is a giver of your grace. Father, I pray over this whole family. Father, that your grace would flow out of them so it can flow through them, oh God. Father, that they would truly understand how to receive the free gift of your grace. Father, and that their home would be a home that has abundance of supernatural grace. Father, that you would grant Wes and Ashley the wisdom to walk Jack into his tomorrows. Father, that you would remind them that their children are a blessing from you. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given them. Father, that they're not just cute and sweet, but Father, we thank you for the divine destiny that you've placed over Jackson's life. And we call forth that destiny today. Father, that he would walk all the days of his life knowing you. Father, that he would learn truly what it means to have a relationship with you. Father, I pray over his ears, naturally and physically and spiritually. Father, that his ears would be attentive to your voice. Father, continue to grant Ashley and Wes the wisdom and the strategy that you've given them. Father, as a church body, we commit to stand and pray for baby Jackson and for Ashley and Wes and Maddie as they are pursuing the purposes that you have for them. And we bless Jackson. We commit his days to you. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give them a hand? Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Love you guys. Yeah. I tell you, and if you need to get another look at Jackson, do it, because he is cute. Awesome. I tell you, it is so, such a blessing to dedicate children to the Lord, but it is so fun when they're your own flesh and blood. That's pretty cool. That's quite an honor. Well, like I say, this Sunday is going to be a little different than what we're used to. I hope you're okay with different. But I'm so excited today. You know, last week as we heard that God wanted to give us the word of the Lord, I believe that that can translate into our personal lives, for our church life. And it was interesting, over the last year, we've really been saying, God, what are the things that you want us to be involved in? I think that's the prayer that every pastor struggles with and prays often, is the things that you do as a church. God, are these the things that you want us to do? Because how many of you know, if I'm doing something that God doesn't want me to do or has something different for me, I don't want to do that any longer, right? I want to do what God's called us to do. And so we've been over the year just looking at different things and saying, God, just because we've done it in the past for 50 years or 60 years or 5 years or a day, God, is that what you have for us in our future? Is that what you have for us tomorrow? And I believe that as we do that, the Lord is going to speak to us. Amen? And I believe as we apply that same principle to our families, that God is going to speak to us. And so one of the things that we've done here at Generational Hope is a thing we call, and it's the weirdest name, it's called MOPS. Mothers of Preschoolers. Not cleaning, but it's called MOPS. And MOPS is something that we've done, and again, I think it's one of those words that we familiarize ourselves with. If you've been around this church, you're like, okay, I know what's coming next, right? We need kids to watch. Well, this morning, as we just have an awesome Sunday, we've been talking about MOPS over the last year, and saying, God, is MOPS something that you've called Generational Hope to walk in? And I can tell you this morning, in talking to our leaders and other pastors, that we believe that investing into young moms is one of the major heartbeats of this church. Can I just say that? This is not just young moms, but I'd say young families and the next generation. And if we ever get to the place where we are not being deliberate about investing into strong families, strong mothers, strong fathers, strong grandparents, and having strategy to do so, then we probably should do a lot of things, including change the name of our church, because we are Generational Hope Christian Center. And so this morning, I am going to just share a little bit about MOPS, and then I'm bringing a word, but I'm going to have Janessa in a few minutes come up. But MOPS has been, and I don't know if you've known, but we've done MOPS, I believe, for about 6 years. My dates might be a little off. And we have literally seen hundreds of moms come up here on Friday mornings twice a month and be encouraged and be blessed and grow in their relationship with the Lord. And again, I think as our human nature, sometimes we get familiar with the things that God has called us to walk out of. Right? Does anyone else have that problem? Where you get familiar. Oh, yeah, God, you told us to do that. And so this morning, we want to just share what God's doing through our MOPS ministry. I don't even know this morning if she's here, but Teal Graver has, and I don't see her, has served our MOPS ministry faithfully for 2 years. And it's all a volunteer-led thing. And she's done a fabulous job of really loving our community of moms and our families. And so this morning, you know, we honor Teal and the season she's in her life with homeschooling kids. She's just at the place where she needs to focus on that. And so as that natural transition happened, we said, God, is this a time that you're calling us to lay it down? And we feel like God says, no, this is the time that we want you to rally around what he's doing in our young moms and see Generational Hope to continue to be a place that where young moms can be encouraged, blessed, and really ready to continue that season that God has them in. And so through this process, Janessa Carley, I still want to call you Held, sorry. Janessa Carley, who led us in worship, is just, God was stirring things in her heart. And she said, I want to be a voice to the moms that I'm in the same season with. And so we just felt good about Janessa and some of the vision. And so Janessa is saying, God, I'm believing that you want to do great things through this MOPS ministry. And so she has agreed to walk it out, and we're believing that God is going to use her to see moms encouraged. And what's interesting about our MOPS ministry is we have moms from GHCC, but it is really a hub for a lot of moms in this community. You know, Maple Valley has been recognized nationally as one of the top 10 places in the nation to raise a family. I think that's pretty incredible when you think of a church that wants to carry the heartbeat of the next generation is here. And so we want to be a place where we can be an encouragement, not just to our moms, but to moms that don't have a home church or maybe have a home church, but they just need that support. And so I'm going to invite Janessa to come up, and she's bringing Erica. And I don't even know Erica this morning, but this is one of our MOPS moms. And we're going to get to hear this morning from Janessa, but also from Erica. So nice to meet you. And just hear what God's done through this ministry in Erica's life. So here you go, Janessa.
I want to share this first. I've been around the church, in this church, in this body for a really long time, and I know on paper that we do MOPS, right? I didn't really quite know what it looked like, and my eyes have been incredibly open this year. And to be honest, MOPS hasn't touched my life in the same way that it's touched a lot of the moms' lives. So I don't want to get up here and falsify some information about what MOPS is for me, because I haven't even been going to MOPS this last year, to be completely honest with you. I went a couple years ago when my daughter was born and made some fantastic relationships. That's when I met Erica, and I've gotten to know her a little bit over the last year and a half, and I want her to share her MOPS story.
Hi, good morning.
I feel closer to the congregation this way. We're in our living room.
Well, I wanted to share my story today about how MOPS changed my life. I first learned about MOPS about 8 years ago when I was pregnant with my daughter. And a coworker's wife said it would be a great place to meet some people. And we had just moved to the Cincinnati area about a year prior. So I hadn't made very many friends. I had no friends that had kids. But she told me it was a Christian organization. Would I be okay with that? I thought, yeah, I guess. I mean, I haven't attended church in 25 years, but I guess I'd still call myself a Christian. We'll try. Well, after my daughter was born, things did not go as planned. And I was only able to attend maybe two or three of the meetings in her first 6 months of her life. But my mom's moms were there. The ones that were part of my group, they reached out to me. They stopped by, they called, they texted. And it was one of those moms that told me, Erica, it's more than the baby blues. I think you have postpartum depression. I suffered from it too. And I really am grateful to that mother because she was right. And just as I got my postpartum under control, when my daughter was 7 months old, she was diagnosed with a condition called craniosynostosis. It's a condition where your skull fuses too soon for your brain to grow. So my daughter kind of had a caveman protruding forehead. And the surgery to correct it involved cutting my daughter from ear to ear, breaking her skull, rebuilding it, doing some things with the orbital sockets. It was pretty traumatic. So at 7 months old, my firstborn has a surgery. We are sitting in the room waiting for the surgery to begin at Cincinnati Children's, and a woman walks in. She introduces herself as the head of the children's ministry at the church where I had attended MOPS. She hands me a card signed by all 60 women that were part of our MOPS group. Now, I knew maybe two or three of these women, and she said they were all praying for me and my daughter. She asked to pray with my family. And the most amazing thing happened. While we were praying, I felt this warmth come over me, just head to toe, like a body buzz taking over. And one thought popped into my head. She'll be okay. And it wasn't one of those thoughts where you're trying to convince yourself, you know, oh, it'll be okay, it has to. It was 100%, without a doubt, she will be fine. My worry was taken away and my daughter is fine. She's almost 8. Wow. You'd have no idea that she had this procedure today. Wow. But that was a life-changing moment for me. I went and asked my mom's friends, what was this? Yeah. What was this feeling? I'm shaking thinking about it. Yeah. And they said, Erica, that was God. Wow. He was there for you. Why would he be there for me? I haven't attended church in 25 years. But when I needed him, when I called out to him, yeah, he was there for me. Come on. I started attending the women's Bible study at the church. A few weeks later, I started attending service there with my children. And my MOPS moms were there with me the whole way. They answered questions. They saved a seat for me. It was really a really big event. And those women were in the front seat when 4 years ago I was baptized at that church. They were there for me 3 years ago when I dedicated my children at this church. Those women are still there for me today, even though I'm thousands of miles away. So while MOPS is a place where we can drop off our children, where we get a hot meal and we can talk to other women, it is more than that, so much more. It is a place where we can welcome any mom, no matter where they're at in their walk and their faith. We lift them up, we encourage them, and we love them. And that has made all the difference in my life.
So, MOPS, every single year changes. I was supposed to start with a video and I forgot. So every single year, MOPS changes their mission for the year. And this year, it is the meaning is Free Indeed is the name. I want to show you a video. It's the promotional video for this year. And the way it works is all of our curriculum, we are the host church, we are the charter church. All the curriculum that we go through MOPS, all the curriculum that the moms get, because when the moms sign up for it, they get a little packet with information that supports the big vision for the year. So let's watch this. It's 2.5 minutes, and then I'll share a couple more after.
Sisters.
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 Sometimes we need a key, a shiny, cold, metallic piece of freedom
to untangle us from the locks we are holding.
The locks that are shouting relentless propaganda
to convince us we are stuck,
discontent,
unlovable,
destined to be slaves to expectation
and exhaustion,
vanished to small spaces,
cages, convincing us our wings are clipped.
When the truth is, we have simply forgotten how to fly.
You are not the caged or the clipped.
You are the kind of thing that flies.
And this is the year to stretch your wings.
Because freedom is exhilarating,
but it isn't tidy.
Just like science still can't explain yawning or why a bumblebee can flip through the sky,
your freedom flight will not come through acts of reason or force.
It is a hand-me-down present
from a good God that is meant to be savored,
not a trophy to be put in a case.
Freedom is no trophy.
It is a wild and unpredictable first draft.
So if your life does not equal up to the vision you have,
then start over. Take the uncharted paths.
Draw new boundaries
because you are a compass of a woman.
And your off-the-beaten-path decisions
will be breadcrumbs for others, your scars, a roadmap
to another woman's freedom.
Which is why this year at MOPS,
we choose wild,
unexpected freedom.
The kind that brings more laughter and less worry.
More contentment
and less hustling. Freedom that is so contagious,
the people around us
are compelled toward their own liberation.
This year, we will realize that we have more control over our lives than we thought. We will train our tongues to love the taste of salt.
We will let love be the loudest voice.
We will remember that just because we have a bad day
doesn't mean we have a bad life.
We will go first in order to set other captives free.
And we will raise our gutsy banners, lock our arms,
and proclaim that fear and worry
and anxiety and comparison will not win.
We will be a force to be reckoned with.
Because we are no longer caged or clipped.
We are committed to fly.
And this is the year we stretch our wings.
So take to the skies and be free.
Amen. It's a fantastic year ahead of us, and I have to say, we're doing a lot of things differently. It's not better or worse, it's just differently this next year. We've changed the name, for starters. Generational Hope Christian Center, I'm going to be very honest. We had a lot of feedback from some moms that was like, well, it's MOPS at Generational Hope Christian Center, you know, and we don't go to Generational Hope Christian Center. And we thought, that's not what it's about, so we changed the name to Tahoma MOPS. To be inclusive of the Tahoma district, to be inclusive of, Justin told me when I asked him, would you be okay if we changed the name? And he said, he gave me a history lesson about Tahoma standing for Taylor Creek and H-O standing for Hobart and M-A, Maple Valley. So even Tahoma in and of itself is an all-inclusive name. And we follow the school district. We're going to follow the same school district. We've got a lot of things that we're changing. MOPS is not just a crafting hour. It's not just a social hour. And that's what I thought it was. I'm being very honest with you. We do crafts once in a while because, right, who doesn't want to, like, decoupage something that they can put on their wall? Some moms aren't really, like, into crafting, and that's fine. We don't do crafting every time, you know? We definitely eat food every single meeting. We drink lots of coffee, and we eat food every single meeting. And it's so fantastic that we can drop the kids off, come downstairs for an hour and a half, get real with some moms, talk about things that are really going on, postpartum depression, how's your marriage, how's your momming-ness, right? How's your self-worth? These are the things that we want to talk about this year. When I ask the moms, what do you want to talk about? Moms want to have a counselor in to talk about how to deal with some stuff in their own heart and in their marriages. Moms want to talk about self-image, right? Because half the time, every other day, we don't get showers in the morning, right? 3 or 4 days goes by, and is that really the way it should be? Sometimes we're busy, but sometimes we're bordering on just being a little maybe depressed, just to be honest. We got to talk about these things as moms. And frankly, Erica has joined the leadership team for MOPS. We have like maybe 15 women on leadership that all love Jesus. And every single one of us want a place to be able to offer to the community of Tahoma, to the community of Maple Valley, to say, come just as you are, and let's be free, let's find hope together, and let's find a friend. Frankly. So I have some very practical needs, Generational Hope Christian Center. Very practical needs. Erica talked about her group was 60 moms. I heard some of you go, 60 moms, right? We had probably 50-ish moms a few years ago. It was a fantastic group. We've kind of died down a little bit over the last couple of years. But we as a leadership team have hope for 60-plus moms in this church. Every other Friday morning, we meet the first and the third Friday mornings, okay? So I have four questions for all of you. Number one, we need childcare workers. What I'm not going to ask is for you to commit the first and third Friday for the next 10 months, starting in September to June. I'm not going to ask you to commit 2 hours of twice a month to come. What I am going to ask is there something you could give? Is there a piece of your time that you could give? Could you commit 2 hours? Because if you can commit 2 hours once during that September to June, I'll get you on the schedule, I promise. We need you. We need your arms to love on some babies. We need your arms to take care of my children, frankly. If you can commit to 4 hours, and you can say, you know what, I may not be able to do it every single month, but I can give more than 2 hours. I'll say, why don't you take the month of May? Why don't you come on the first and third Friday just for the month of May? That way you got it on the calendar, okay? I'm a big scheduler. So I want your name and number. I had these things to pass around, and then, I forgot. So I had other things going on this morning. So if you have a pen or your cell phone, can you take it out? I know this is crazy. I'm going to give you my telephone number. Here's my telephone number. It's 253-335. Very easy to remember. 5578. 253-335-5578, okay? For those of you, okay, 253-335-5578, okay? And if you don't know it, then call Carrie Ann and reach out to Carrie Ann. Please connect with me. Please connect with me. If you're willing to give 2 hours of your time, 4 hours of your time, 6 hours of your time, 8 hours of the time, we need you. And if you're a young mom and you're not coming to MOPS, I want to invite you. I want you to be there. I want this church to be represented, not just a couple of moms. And I have to say, we have a Moms Next group, which most of you don't know. Moms Next, what is that? It's moms who don't have preschoolers. It's not just the young moms. It's the moms who can say, I've been where you're at and you're going to get through it. I've had bad days too, but the days get better. And so we have an entire program that's kind of separate for those of you who don't have preschoolers. That's the second ask. Moms of this church, I would love for you to come. Consider this your invitation to be there. Number three, if there is one of you in this church that says, I want to give more than just a couple hours of my time and I want to help coordinate the childcare. This is a really big faith ask, but I got to do it. Call me. Because, I'm going to be doing it. I would be glad to do it, but I would love to be down there with my moms. So if there is one of you that wants to coordinate calling people and getting those spots filled, I need you. Please, I need you. And lastly, if you are someone that says, I'm not a mom, I don't have kids, maybe you're in the grandma mode, but you say, I have so much to give away. We have a mentorship program, and it's not watching kids. Some of you, I've talked to some of you directly, and you said, well, I've done Mentor Moms in the past, and all I do is I get stuck down there watching the kids. I'm not talking about that. If you want to give away what you have so freely been given and maybe commit to coming and sitting with the moms 4 times a year, come, be a mentor mom, sit alongside. I want to give some of the moms who are struggling with some things your telephone number so they have someone that's been there that they can call in the community. Amen? I know we threw a lot at you this morning. 253-335-5578. That's my cell phone number, okay? Call me. I look forward to talking with you. This is Motherhood. Thank you.
Awesome. 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 So what does that have to do with you? What does that have to do with this morning? A lot. I think it's pretty cool how the Lord works it out. I have this great PowerPoint to share. I'm not going to share it. I had this great sermon to share. I'm not going to share hardly any of it. But we've been talking about, the title of our series has been called It's Personal, Connecting with God and Engaging with Others. And we believe that we want to be people who hear the word of the Lord and act on the word of the Lord. That's our desire, that we don't just hear the word of the Lord and go, oh yeah, God, I'm going to add that to the book of other things you've said to me. But I believe as God speaks to us, we want to be a people that release those things. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about him this morning, and Pastor Ryan's done a great job, and he defined the Holy Spirit as a river, and the Bible calls him a river. And I think about a river. A river has a definite starting place, but it has a place of release, right, where it is released to the ocean. And I think it's important that we as Christians, as we want to walk with the Holy Spirit, that our relationship with the Holy Spirit is defined by who he is. So my relationship with the Holy Spirit should be flowing, should not just be stagnant. I've met a lot of Christians, and I think my desire as a Christian is that I'm always growing. Anyone else out there that says, I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord? Well, I've met some Christians that they just say, well, you know what? I just will spend 100 hours a day praying, or 100 hours a day reading my Bible. And I think they're going to grow as they do that. But unless you are releasing the things that God is speaking to you through your life, you will only grow so much. Yeah, I think that's a word for us today. Is there has to be some sort of release of what God's doing in us. Otherwise, you're going to get stagnant. Otherwise, you're just going to have a lot of knowledge. And I want to encourage us this morning. The title of my message that I was going to preach was going to be called, It's Personal, the power of your story. Well, there it is. It's personal. Because I think we heard this morning a story from Erica. And there was power in what God did through her life. And Erica, I want to just say to you that God is going to continue to use that story of some of the tremendous pain, heartache, confusion that you guys went through to be healing to people that need to hear it in the future. And I believe that there is probably a couple other 100 stories that exist in this room that God wants to speak to you and say, there is power in your story this morning. Okay, the things that you have gone through in your life, the good and the not so good, there's power in those things. You know, in Revelations chapter 2, it says that they overcome their adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love their lives not even unto death. Well, what in the world does that mean? Does that mean I'm just going to do it on Sunday morning? No. But what it does mean is that as you release what God has done in your life, you are going to overcome, but others are going to overcome their enemies as they hear your testimony of freedom. And I want to encourage us. I think a lot of times we look at our stories. And even this morning, this Janessa shared, and I think I could come up with a lot of reasons of why I don't want to release what God's done in my life. Well, number one, I'm not a mom. Number two, maybe I've got to work. Number three, I can't identify. I don't have enough life experience to identify with those moms, or I have too much life experience. I'm not relevant enough. You know, whatever it is. But I think a lot of times, God has given us a story. God has given each and every one of us a testimony. And I think the danger is when we do not allow that testimony, we do not allow what God has done to get out. But God wants people to overcome, by what he's done in your life. Okay, can you receive that this morning on this family Sunday? But there's power in what God's done in your life. You know, I have a few points this morning that I'm not going to share all of them with you. But I just want to encourage us with this first one, that God wants to use your whole story. Okay, if you want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 8, I encourage you to do so. But it talks about Paul and what God was doing in their life. But I think a lot of times we look at our lives and we say, well, God can't use this part of my story because it's ugly, because it's filled with pain, because I was in a lot of sin and I don't want that part of the story to get out. But I want to encourage you, sometimes the hardest things that I go through in my life are the very things that God wants to use to encourage others. You know, Romans 8:28 talks about God wanting to make all things for his good, right? According to those who love God and are called to his purposes. And I really have a hard time with this scripture. Because I say, why do good things or bad things happen to good people? Has anyone else asked that question? I've asked that question a lot this last year and a half. Why does this happen? And I don't know the answer to all those questions, but what I do know is that out of the greatest pain, God wants to bring the greatest healing. Out of the greatest heartache that you've gone through, and could it be that the heartache that you've gone through 10 years ago, 5 years ago, through your releasing that testimony, is going to bring healing to a mom or dad or a son or a daughter, that it is going to free them in Christ? Could it be? But each and every one of us this morning has a story, and God wants to use that whole story. This morning, Generational Hope Christian Center, you are approved by God. You are approved by God, meaning God has set his stamp of approval on you. And he said, you don't need to be something that you're not, because I've always already called you to be what I've called you to be. Because you know what the enemy of our soul likes to do? Is he likes to tell us every reason why we can't release what God's doing in our hearts. We're not free enough. We've got to get over this one hump before we're used by God. We're not gifted enough. This morning, you are approved by God. You're approved to do what God's called you to do. I think the last thing just I want to talk about this morning in our little mini sermonette, because I think there's some Sundays that we come in here and we're going to get encouraged, but I think there's some Sundays that we need to come in here and God says, I want to see lasting fruit, and I want to see a release that happens through what I say on Sunday mornings. And I believe that today is one of those Sundays, because there's a number of things that God's called us to do, and it has to get beyond ourselves. Amen? It has to get beyond who we are. If you read in that scripture in 2 Thessalonians, it goes on, and I want to read verse 7 for you, but it says this. It says, and this is Paul talking. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, being so affectionately desirous of you. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but we were also ready to share our life with you, because you had become very dear to us. And I believe that this is what the word of the Lord would want to speak to us today and bring some application to what we're talking about today. And it's this. And what he's saying in the scripture, he's saying, what do those people around you need for this moment? What are the people that you're in relationship with need? Because sometimes what they need and what I want to give them are two different things. But what do those people need this morning? What do they need this morning? you know, many of us, if you're a parent, you can understand. And some people have an instant connection with their kids and other people don't. I don't know about you, but that first moment that I held my oldest son, it was like everything was different. Right? But I've talked to some parents when they hold their kids and they don't feel anything. They have a hard time connecting with their son or their daughter. But you talk to every single one of them and they say, even if I didn't feel like this over-emotional connection, there was something different about my life that moment that I held my son or my daughter. Okay, and I believe it's the same feeling that he talks about in Thessalonians that says that they had become very dear to us. Right? You hold that baby and everything in your life is different. And the Bible talks about us treating others that same way. And if you caught it in the scripture, but it says, we didn't just share the gospel with you. You know, sometimes it would be really easy just to share the gospel. But it's a whole nother issue when I open my life to the unlovely. And God's calling us to open our lives to one another. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit is tugging on people's hearts even today, saying, would you open your life? Would you open your story to maybe some moms that need to hear it? Be a mentor mom, right? Maybe it's not mops. But I believe we're entering a season where God's saying, hey, it's personal, connecting with others, and God's saying, there's power in your story. Open your life to someone. And I tell you, it would be a lot easier just to talk about the things of God. But God's saying, would you open your life? Would you allow people to get in to your heart? You know, I don't, like I said, I didn't plan on preaching just that short. But I know this, that there is testimonies in this room that are waiting to be told. And God is asking us and saying, will you open up your life to the unlovely? Would you not just share the gospel, but would you open up and be very personal about what I've done in your heart? People aren't looking, mentor moms, you don't need to be a certified counselor. You need to be real, and you need to be vulnerable. And the call is, would you open up your life so that others can receive freedom this morning? And I just, in closing today, just want to encourage us that there's power in your story. And I think the enemy of your soul would want you to believe that you have nothing to say, you have nothing to offer. Maybe someday you will when you arrive. Can I just give you a news flash? You're probably not going to arrive. God wants you to use the gifts and use what he's done in you today to bring freedom to those that need to hear it. Would you stand with me today? I encourage you, you can talk to Janessa after the service. But I want to pray over us because I really felt like even before the mops thing that God was saying that he wants to use the story of your life to bring health and healing to people that need it. And so, Father, right now, we just come before you. Father, we know your word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Father, I thank you for your blood, Father, that has saved us, that has redeemed us, that has set us free. But Father, I thank you for the stories that exist in this room. Father, I thank you for the stories that said I had it all together and my life was easy. Father, I thank you for that story. Father, I thank you for the story this morning that is dark, that is full of pain, that is full of sin, that had shame. But Father, that you have turned that story around for your glory. Father, even some of the greatest pain that we've walked through, even in this last year, Father, that you would release those stories of how your Holy Spirit has walked us to healing. Father, that we would even use those hard, deep moments that we sometimes want to forget. Father, that you would even use those stories to bring freedom. Father, I thank you this morning that you want to use all parts of our story, the good, the bad, and the ugly this morning. Father, that you want to use those aspects to bring freedom to others. Father, I thank you this morning that you're not calling us just to talk about you, but Father, you're calling us to open up our lives to one another. Father, would you give each of us the strategy of what that looks like? Father, would you give us the strategy of how do I open my life when I'm so busy? How do I open my life when I don't feel adequate? Father, I thank you that you're calling us, and where you call us, you will provide. Father, thank you for the stories. Father, would you even forgive us to where we've said, God, could you give me a different story because I don't like the cards that I was dealt? Father, thank you for the story that you've given each and every one of us. Father, and the power and the freedom that comes as we share our testimony, as we share our stories, we open up our lives to one another. Father, today as we go, I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that we would be challenged. Father, not to just go out of here and think differently, but Father, that we would go out of here and that we would live differently. Father, thank you for the things that you've called us to. Father, thank you that you want to use this church as a place of hope for young families. Father, I pray for the ones that have been there and done that. Father, for our grandmothers, for our mothers, for our seasoned ones. Father, I pray, Father, that the story that's in their heart would come out. Father, that you would release the stories that you've done in our grandmothers to the next generation, and our grandfathers to the next generation. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is that all right? I tell you, a little different Sunday, but I'm excited for what God wants to do. And I'm excited to continue to see the testimony of God go forth in the lives of others. Amen? Hey, we've got some barbecuing going on. God bless you. Talk to Janessa after the service. You are released.